So now we come to chapter 4, which is on the S&OP planning. The agenda we cover here is the big picture, the supply chain core processes. We have a brief introduction to the supply and the sales and operations planning. Overview of the S&OP cycle, what are the key four keys to S&OP effectiveness, the single data model, and conclude with a summary. So let's look at the big picture. Supply chain management process plays a huge significant role in running key operations for every organization. And this is a self-explanatory statement. We have already seen how important is supply chain management, since it can contribute to the success of an organization. Without a successful supply chain, processes could halt at the floor level and ultimately bring down the results, because the continuity the uninterrupted production is necessary for the supply chain to effectively deliver results. With ever evolving supply chain concepts, supply chain management process has become a dedicated function. So this has become a specialized area due to its importance and the impact it has on the organization. Supply chain management doesn't happen in isolation. It's built on the foundation of key business process. So we again say that supply chain is a collection of various functions, and it is not something that operates in isolation, because it still has stakeholders in the suppliers and the customers or the distributors. So look at the structure of supply chain. You have the business plan, you have the S&OP, which may have a strategic significance, and it has got a certain time horizon. You have the demand plan, you have the distribution requirement plan, the master production schedule, the MRP, which is the material requirement plan, and finally the execution. So these are the core processes which we will have a look at. So the overall process linkage, so sales and operations planning helps with the making strategic decisions with sales and operations department to fulfill the demand. Master production schedule, so basically sales and operations planning looks at how the organization is going to meet the demand, the market demand. And we will see how that happens. Okay, a master production schedule involves the independent demand with production schedules where employees may be processing orders from forecast or requirement from customer orders. So master production schedule normally is a production schedule which talks purely in terms of the finished product. That means the final SKU which is being sold in the market. It does not talk about the intermediates or the semi-finished products, etc. And it is also time-bound. That means, when the product is required. So master production schedule specifies when the finished product is required and how much of it is required. So where, the demand actually becoming from either the firm orders from the customers or from the forecast. This is the schedule of finished products that drives the MRP process. So as we said, master production schedule talks about the finished product, the final SKU, and not about any intermediates or semi-finished goods. This is to be very clearly understood. Okay, the quantities in the MPS, that is master production schedule, represents what you need to produce to meet the forecast. So we come to the distribution requirement planning. So distribution requirement planning focuses on pushing the inventory through the supply chain to help meet the demand. DRP takes the MRP one step further and calculates how to move the material out of the facility. The product delivery is more efficient because DRP calculates the quantity of each type of goods that requires delivery, as well as where to meet the demand. DRP is a time-based approach to guarantee that inventory that's likely to be low has a replenishment plan. Now, I'll explain each of this point that we made. What does it mean? So, it focuses on pushing the material, to help meet the demand. How does BRP work? Let us say that there is an overseas customer and the transit time is 1 month. That means you ship out the material and it will reach him after 1 month. Now, assume that the customer requires the delivery by the 1st of December. Given the information that the transit time is 1 month or the delivery time is 1 month, we need to plan the shipment of this material on 1st of November. So if you ship out the material on 1st of November, it will reach him by 1st of December. And accordingly, then you work it backwards and decide when the product has to be ready. Because maybe if you have to ship it by 1st of November, the material has to be ready in all respects by maybe the last week of October. So DRP helps you in this way. It further helps you because, when you are making a supply to overseas customers, you are receiving orders in full container loads. And many times the container load is consisting of two or three products or maybe more. So at this point of time, you have to synchronize the production of all the products so that your one material is produced and waiting for the other material, because unless all the materials are available, you cannot ship out this the consignment. So DRP also takes into account the synchronization of all the materials to ensure that you can consolidate the materials and ship it out on schedule. The other thing is, we took the example of overseas supply, where we said that 1 month is the delivery time. Assume a case where the delivery time is 1 week because the material is going to be shipped within the country. So there you will see that based on the customer demand, you will be planning the material to be shipped out, let's say 1 week before the customer requested delivery date. So distribution requirement planning is taking the entire planning process one step ahead and actually telling you when the material has to leave your facility, when it has to be shipped out. So rightly said that DRP is a time-based approach to guarantee that inventory that's likely to be low as a replenishment plan. So even there are buffers which are being maintained or safety stocks which are being maintained. So if you find that your safety stocks or your buffers are below a certain level, then it will tell you that these are the products which need to be replenished quickly. Demand forecasting. So basically, demand forecasting helps plan for the future customer demand and uses forecasting models. And how it does that, we will come in the succeeding slides. Material requirement planning. So material requirement planning coordinates materials that are required to meet dependent demand, where materials and resources have already been allocated to the produced products. Ensures the materials are available and in stock based on the required quantities. So what is the material requirement plan? You have the master production schedule, which says that I have to make X item, so many numbers, by this date, another item Y by a certain date. So what you do is, based on the master production schedule, you actually work out your material requirement planning. Now, how does the material requirement plan work? It takes into account the bill of material. So for making X number of units, you will require a certain number of raw material or components. And that is what the material requirement plan will throw up. It will also look at what is the quantity which is available in your inventory, in your stocks, in your warehouse. It will deduct that, and the difference, the shortfall, is what it will project, and it will tell you that this quantity of materials, the components or the sub-assemblies, are required by a certain time, which is dictated by the master production schedule. So if you have to deliver the material, let's say by end of the month, And if your production lead time is, let's say, 3 days, then 3 days before end of the month, the production has to happen. And for this production to happen, maybe the material will be required 2 or 3 days prior to that. So MRP exactly tells you what are the quantities required for the production and exactly when they are required, so that the manufacturing activity can happen, manufacturing or the production or assembly activity can happen at the designated time, and the material is made available in a timely way. So MRP basically ensures the materials are available and in stock based on the required quantities. So this is generally the high level view. You have the SNOP. So in the SNOP, you finalize the production plan, and based on the production plan, so you decide that my demand for the month is X, but you have the inventory on hand where there are certain stocks available, and that's how you arrive at what are the quantities that you will need to produce afresh. So like, for example, there is an item, let's say it's a refrigerator. You have 1,000 items to be delivered. The demand plan says that there is a requirement of 1,000 items, but you have 200 refrigerators in your stock. Okay, so it means that you are required to now produce 800 to meet the current demand, that the demand for the month. And the master production schedule will then say that we need to plan 800, and in what manner, in what quantities, and by when these 800 kg has to be produced. So it could be that out of the 800, let's say 400 has to be produced in the first week, 200 in the second week, and maybe 200 by the third week. So this becomes the master production schedule, and it's not only the week, a date could be assigned to it, or a certain period may be assigned to it. Now, based on these master production schedule, the MRP will be worked out. So what it will do, it will look at the bill of material, and it will throw up, we call it blowing up the bomb. So the bill of material into 800 refrigerators will tell you what is the material which is required to fulfill this 800 production order. And we then look at whether we have those material in stock or not. So like we said for the refrigerator, that out of 1,200 refrigerators were already available with us. Likewise with the raw material, we look at our inventory, we look at our stock levels, and then we decide what we need to procure. Now, if the material is already available, then we don't need to worry about it, and it can be assigned to the production system. But if you are short of the material, then you are releasing the purchase order, and the vendors are then instructed to deliver the material by a certain date based on your master production schedule, so that when you are going to take the production, the material is available at that point of time. This process is in supply chain control, controls important outcome for the enterprise. And what are those outcomes? You know, increased customer satisfaction. So naturally, I mean, if you are able to supply the products on time, you are able to ensure that there are no stockouts, there is always availability of the material. Because like I said, for industrial products, for B2B products, the customer may give you a certain lead time. But if you look at FMCG products, or you look at the white goods, you know, the customer will not wait for the product. And here, customer satisfaction means that the product is always available, but at the same time, you don't want to carry huge inventories for that. Improved collaboration with the suppliers, creating new market opportunities, increased output. So naturally, if you are using your system effectively, your outputs are bound to increase, because you are using your facilities very effectively. You are utilizing your complete facility. Thus, you are giving the maximum output. That means there is no underutilization of the critical equipment. Attracting and retaining the employees. So if you have a successful, efficient operations, the morale of the people will be high, and you will be retaining the people. if you have a very harmonious work environment, people are bound to remain. If you have a environment, you know, where there are too many exigencies, there are too many urgencies, too many rush orders, etc., then people are bound to be stressed, and naturally people will not like to work in this kind of a environment on a sustainable basis. Improved profitability, because if you don't have urgencies and you are able to make optimum use of each of your functions, each of your supply chain value addition functions, then your costs will be low, which will naturally result in improved profitability. It also serves as a tool for agreement between marketing and the operations. So we have seen that, you know, when you have very smooth operations and whatever is the demand placed by the marketing is fulfilled by the operations, it also means that you have very cordial relations and very smooth operations between the marketing and the operations of the supply chain. Time planning, finance and budgeting, because all these things, you are able to budget and you are able to operate within the budgets. You do not have cost overruns, you are not incurring additional cost, etc. And you are able to budget your expenditure, you are able to manage your payables, etc. in a very effective way. Enhance the operational efficiency, which we talked about, you know, utilization, etc. Because every time there is an exigency, you are cutting corners, you are incurring additional cost. So you are avoiding those things. Increase profitability, we have already covered that. And improve on its competitive position in the marketplace. So if you are efficiently able to make a product, then you are even able to price it very competitively. Whereas if your operations are not efficient, your costs will be high. And naturally, no organization would like to sell its product, which does not cover all its costs. That means, you know, not only the product cost, the cost of manufacturing a product, but also the overheads which go with the organization. So the typical manufacturing planning process cycle. So you have the marketing plan, you have the strategic plan, and you have the financial planning. So you have the production planning here, the resource planning here. The resource may include your manpower planning, your machine availability or the machine planning. The demand management is here, where you have the forecast from the market and the orders that you are getting in the system, because many a times you don't get a forecast, the orders just come in. So demand management covers both these aspects. And based on this, you are doing the production planning. So you first do a high level planning of what do you require, what is the product mix that you require within a month. And further, the next step then is you break it into the master production schedule, where you actually break it up into each of the finished product, quantity required, and when those quantities are required to be delivered to the market. So once you have the master production schedule, then you have a detailed material planning, what we talked about, the MRP. And based on the bill of material and the available stocks, the inventory data which is available, you will decide what are the materials which need to be procured. The routing file is more for the production activity, how the materials or the components have to be routed through the various operations and processes. So you have also the detailed capacity planning as far as the equipment and processes are concerned. MRP here, so you are actually throwing up when the raw materials are required and where they are required. So material and capacity plan here. And then finally, you have the shop floor systems, where you plan the production. The vendor system comes in here as far as fulfillment of your material requirements are concerned. So basically, this is the manufacturing planning process, or the cycle that you normally see in organizations. Supply chain management synchronizes a series of interrelated business processes in order to accomplish the following. And what are that? Procure the raw material, transform these raw material to the finished product, add value to the finished products, promote and distribute the finished product to the customers. So this is fairly simple, you know. I mean, we saw that you start with the raw material, you do the manufacturing process where you convert them into finished product, and then you finally distribute the products. So in today's global economy, companies are differentiating their business operating model by integrating and coordinating with their internal and external business partners to fulfill customer demand. So we will see how companies are, you know, differentiating or collaborating with the internal and external business partners to basically gain in terms of service levels or, you know, minimizing the inventory or reducing the lead times, etc. Generic supply chain. So you have the material flow from left to right. Here you have the suppliers. So you may have the suppliers locally located where you have carriers bringing the material in. You can also have, you know, global suppliers where you get the material, you know, either by sea or by air. And you can see the material flow is generally like this. So you have the purchase department, which actually procures the raw materials or the components. And then you have the raw material, which is processed into finished goods through various processes. And then once the material is manufactured, then you have the customer orders, and order to delivery is handled here. And you can see that while the material flow is this way, the information flow is in the reverse direction. Also, no sale or transaction is complete till you get the payment. So not only you deliver the material, but you also have to recover the payment from the customer if it's going against a credit. So various components are shown here. You have the inbound transportation, you have the order management and the inter-facility movement within the facility. That means you have to transport the material between the various units or operations, and then you have the outbound transportation, and finally you actually give it to the distribution. From distribution it goes to the retail, and from the retail it goes to the final customer. So inbound logistics. So this supports the procurement of raw material from the suppliers, internal controls of the production processes, and warehouse storage. So you are placing the purchase orders, you are getting the material on time. Internal controls, you know, we also saw that in some cases there is a quality check or the quality assurance processes are carried out, and once the manufacturing is done, again the material comes back to the warehouse where it is waiting to be shipped. The process is also called purchase to receipt upon the bringing the product from the supplier for further manufacturing process or distribution. So if it is for manufacturing, then you are bringing the raw material, you are giving it to the manufacturing process. And if it's a traded product, you know, which happens in the industry many a times, then you are bringing the product, you are relabeling the product, and then you are selling it under your brand name. So order management and inter-facility movement. So this consists of capturing the customer orders and fulfillment. The process may require transfer of inventory within the network to meet the customer orders. So, as we said, you know, the intra-facility movement, you know, within the facility may be required for the manufacturing purpose, and then subsequently even for the order fulfillment. Inter-facility movement is, you know, where you have the affiliates which are located, you know, so where the product has to be moved from one affiliate to the other affiliate, or that means the same company has two units where maybe different operations or so are carried out, or there is some value addition which happens there. So there it's called the inter-facility movement. Intra-facility is where, you know, within the same facility you are moving the material. The process is also called order to cash, which begins with the order capture, ends with the customer billing. So order to cash basically is the order processing where you have the customer service desk. They will receive the order, they will issue the delivery order, and then the warehouse, they will do the fulfillment. So they will pick the material, invoice it, and deliver it. So maybe they will give it to the transporter for delivery to the distributor or the end customer. Outbound logistics, so this relates to the physical distribution of outbound logistics activities, customer order receipt and processing, inventory deployment, storage, handling, and order consolidation. Basically, outbound logistics starts, you know, after you get the delivery order. So once the warehouse gets the delivery order, they do the consolidation, they do the documentation, that means the invoice, packing list, these are generated, and then the materials are put on a transport and then dispatched. So this is basically the outbound logistics. So we come to the sales and operations planning. So sales and operations planning is an aspect of the supply chain planning whose goal is the creation of a unified consensus based business plan. So basically it brings all the functions together and it creates a plan which is to be executed by the supply chain management. So it draws input from an organization's key functional areas, including sales and marketing, manufacturing, distribution, and finance. Why all these functions? Because you will find that your demand plan or demand forecast will come normally from the sales and marketing. Based on, you know, what are the historical sales, the statistical forecast, based on any promotions which they are, you know, making in the market, etc. And the distribution network also. So sometimes the distributor also gives a forecast and says that I have this requirement. So in some companies, you will find that the distributors on a regular basis give a forecast, and this forecast is then consolidated to actually arrive at some kind of a demand plan. And finally, finance, because finance has to also flag the purchase of the materials, etc., because it's basically a liability. So whatever you're going to procure, you will have to pay for it. So finance actually does the balancing act here, and normally they don't interfere, but certainly they will highlight if you are carrying, you know, higher inventories, etc., then finance will raise a red flag. Cross-functional collaboration results in plans that are all stakeholders understand, are committed to supporting. So generally what happens is you have you may have a demand plan which is coming from different functions like sales, from marketing, and from the distribution. That means your distribution partners like dealers or distributors. What you do is you consolidated all these demand plan, and then you finally agree on a single plan. And that single plan becomes the Bible, that becomes the document by which the supply chain operates. That means all the functions under supply chain will adhere to that plan. So on the spectrum of the supply chain planning activities, S&OP is typically a more advanced discipline. Many smaller organizations or startups may require only inventory planning. They may add additional capability such as demand planning and supply planning as they grow. So even we find that when you are launching a new product, many a times it's difficult to predict a demand in the market. So it may be a hunch that, you know, the product manager may say that I think we may sell so much in maybe first 2 months or 3 months, and you may make certain quantities and then monitor and see how the sales are picking up. So you will also have communication to the market, some advertising, some promotions, etc., and that's how you gradually try to build up. So in such cases you may not have a proper S&OP. But otherwise, in most organizations, in large organizations, SNOP is required and it's very much active. So organizations typically seek out SNOP functionality once they begin to sell larger number of differentiated products. We also talked about it in some of the earlier chapters where we said that if you're selling very few products, you know, then you don't require SNOP because you are making the same product day in, day out. But if you have a large variety of products, large number of products, then you have to have an SNOP and you have to decide which are the products you are going to produce, what quantities you are going to produce, what are the priorities. Even when we come to the other chapters on production planning, there are certain strategies that we use or certain planning principles that we use, which we will explain how we use it for SNOP. So the real value and performance gain of SNOP comes from collaboration. This is understood because all the people have to collaborate. We also saw this in supply chain management, where we said that unless you collaborate and you work as a single team, the integrated will not be successful. And the same applies to SNOP. So all parties are able to align because they use the same set of data, which is built in checks and balances. SNOP brings an end to excuses and drives accountability. The results of such collaborations are often impressive. So SNOP is basically a collaborative effort, and whatever you decide in the SNOP, this becomes the guiding factor for the operations. So high performing SNOP driven companies can boast of less inventory because you are able to optimize on your inventory. You are able to decide on replenishment of critical material where you have high demand, low stocks. Then you also have higher order fulfillment, shorter cash to cash cycle times, and less stockouts. I think this is self-explanatory how we achieve this. So the SNOP process begins by developing a demand plan for a rolling time period of 12 to 24 months, depending on the need of the company. Now, generally, I have seen that there are companies which work even with a shorter demand plan, the rolling sales forecast or demand forecast. Typically, the organizations that I work with, they are operating on a 12-month plan. So it gives you a fair insight into how we see the market moving. And when you're talking of 12 months, it takes into account the seasonality, the festivals, and you know, if there are any sales which peak during Diwali or during Christmas. So you are covering all those events in your planning horizon. A corresponding supply plan is created for the same time period. So what happens is the demand plan is taken into the system, the ERP system, and it basically creates a MRP right for this entire period. So if, like, for example, your horizon is 12 months, then for 12 months, your MRP and your supply plan is created. Now you may not actually be implementing it. So what happens is you are releasing the purchase requisitions or ordering the material based on the latest start date. So for example, if it's an imported raw material, you know, which has a lead time of, let's say, 2 months or 3 months, you have to order the material at least 3 months in advance. So here the latest start date would be 3 months before the material is to be manufactured. But if there is a raw material which is locally available and which has a lead time of, let's say, 15 days, there you can actually order the material only about 15 or 20 days before the time when you actually require the material. So the demand supply plans are actually created for the entire period. You may not be actually running the MRP for the entire 12-month period. You only do it based on the lead time of the material. And this is actually used to, you know, take care of critical raw materials where you have very long lead times. So that this is to make sure that you are ordering material well in time to make sure that your production and your demand is fulfilled.